today on Real Radio.
By the way you walk can be seen by your witness, by your fear of the Lord. Can you write this down, please? By your fear of the Lord. One of the most misunderstood statements, and I just heard it this week on the History Channel. I wanted to crawl through the TV and give a guy a piece of my mind.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the last six verses of chapter 12. It's a section of Scripture where the apostle addresses the necessary outward, visible behavior of the believer. In other words, the world is watching us. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a mini-series called By the Way You Walk.
If you have little children, you are supposed to be raising up your children real parakaleo near you. And isn't it cute, you guys, have you noticed that when mommy or daddy communicates without words to the little ones, you're going to know it? You want to know how you're going to know it? Because you're going to see your little Mr. America in your house. Your Mr. America is going to put on your work gloves, your yard gloves, or your boots, and he's trying to walk around in them. Or maybe he puts on daddy's hat and he walks different. He walks like John Wayne. You know what I'm talking about? What about a little girl? You ever hear her coming down the hallway before you ever see her? Click, 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 click. You don't even have to see her. You know already she's got mommy's high heels on. She's got her wedding dress on. I know it's so cute. Our granddaughter, she had said something she alluded to. She had gotten all dressed up, and Rebecca, my daughter, said, "What are you doing?" She goes, "I'm going to marry Daddy." Isn't that the sweetest thing in the world? What are they saying? They're mimicking. Integrity. You cannot follow Jesus without integrity permeating your spiritual life. And Paul is reminding them about that, and he's building up a case regarding that. Thirdly, under this point, by the way you walk can be seen by your witness, by your fear of the Lord. Can you write this down, please? By your fear of the Lord. One of the most misunderstood statements, and I just heard it this week on the History Channel. I wanted to crawl through the TV and give a guy a piece of my mind. He said, well, you know, the Bible should be outlawed and it's dangerous because it even says in there that there's the fear of the Lord. Moo! Has nothing to do with it. It is an unfortunate word in our culture. It is the Greek word phobos, but from phobos, where we get the word phobia, it's also translated reverential awe. Okay, if we packed up and went down to the wedge today and saw some 15 to 22-foot waves pounding the wedge down in Newport or Balboa, let me tell you something right now. The closer we get to the water, you are going to stand in awe. You go to the edge of the Grand Canyon, and I cover your eyes, and then I open up your eyes so you can see, and you're going to look 5,000 feet down. You will stand in awe. We are to be in awe of God. And with that, like a lightning storm or like an amazing wave breaking on the shore, there is a sense of reverential awe. There's a fear that is healthy. You keep your distance, as it were, in a way. But you're mesmerized and caught by it. And Paul says it's the fear of the Lord that kept us from taking advantage of you. We're not going to conduct ourselves in a way that ripped you off, because you know what? We're not going to answer to the Corinthians in the day of judgment. We're going to answer to God. The word take advantage means to desire what you have. It means to reach over and take, snatch for personal gain. Paul said we didn't do that. The fact of the matter is that the truth of standing before God in the day of judgment. Listen, I can say this on this side of this podium. America has no hope until America's pastors begin to fear God again. Because if they fear God again, they will speak the truth in love, but speak the truth. And they will not be afraid of the government or the congregation or the board or whatever it is. Well, you better not say that because you're going to get in trouble. Listen, no way. Listen, ministers of the gospel of God are supposed to be ordained by God from heaven above. And if it costs them their lives, that's part of the job application. That's just the way that it is. The culture more than ever needs to be spoken into. God said in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you shepherds who will instruct you with knowledge and with truth. What would keep you from doing that? The fear of man. Christians today need to be energized, I believe, by the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 7 says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. How are you going to break the spell? And we probably won't make it today. I can tell you the pace we're going. But there's a long list of things that Paul's going to add to the Corinthian church and what they were practicing, which they shouldn't have been doing. Are there any sins in our lives that you can't seem to break? You can empty the libraries and you can empty the bookstores, the Christian bookstores across America. It's not going to change a thing. You can join some accountability group. It's not going to change a thing. There's one thing that will change the cycle that's pulling you down and keeping you from knowing the power of God in your life, and that is the fear of the Lord. To live your life in a constant day-to-day awareness that Almighty God has got His eyes upon you. Years ago, I read where a young boy came running into the house, and that boy said, Daddy, Daddy, Mr. So-and-so said that God's watching me. He's watching me. He's watching every move I make. Is that true, Daddy? And the kid was terrified, not knowing what the kid had done. The father thought this was a good opportunity to insert the other side of the story, because the terror was clearly evident upon the kid's face. And he said, yes, son, that is right. God watches every move you make because He loves you so much He can't take His eyes off of you. That parent could have said, God watches every move you make, so you better watch it. And I think that would have broken the heart of God. But it is true, God watches every move you and I make because He does love us. He can't take His eyes off of us. That's the greater motive. Not thou shalt not, but thou gets to do. Think of it. The fear of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, which is another manifestation of the fear of the Lord, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, that implies of ourselves, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, pause for effect, bitterness towards anyone else in our hearts might spring up and cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Do you have a little bitterness in your heart towards somebody? The Bible is saying, give it up, get rid of it. It could ruin you. And walk holy with me, God says. Walk in the fear of the Lord. Walk with that ever-present thought of God is before me. He's in your car. He's here with you now. He's going to be with you when you get home. He never leaves you. Never forsakes you. He's always there. Practicing the presence of God. Think of it. It's a good thing. By the way, it blows legalism apart. It shatters legalism. If you know that you're living life holding Jesus' hand, it's going to cause you to depart from evil. It's a good thing. Number two in our study, point number two, by the way you walk, verses 18 to 19 is this, they can see by your passion. They can see by your passion. I don't want to be misunderstood regarding passion. I want you to write this down, though. They can see you and I by our passion. I don't mean someone's ability to speak or jump up and down or go crazy passion. I'm talking about what beats your heart, your passion. Translation, what are you living for? People know when they look at us and hear from us and watch us, they know what we're living for. Or might I say, whom we're living for, amen? And so look at verse 18, as you walk, he says, in the same spirit. He says, did we not walk in the same spirit? All Bible students in the house this morning, circle the word in your Bible, spirit. Notice it's lowercase s. It's not capital S as Holy Spirit, it's your spirit. I love this. I love this. Why? Because it speaks about the reality of the real you. And I always want to stress, and maybe I do it too much and I bore you with this, but we put in our culture, we put so much on the outward appearance of things. This word right here testifies to the fact that who you are truly for real, in actuality, is the lowercase s spirit, the eternal you. The eternal you, this is what he's saying. Did we not walk in the same spirit, meaning are we not all at Corinth together with Titus and our brothers and myself walking with the understanding of eternal destinations that we're believers in Christ? Are we not one? He's stressing. That word walk means this from the original language, to tread all about. It means to walk before all people publicly. It means to walk at large or to walk openly. So listen, did we not walk openly at large in front of everybody in the same spirit? Weren't we on the same team? He builds his case. Don't raise your hand, but are you a Christian today? Listen, we can have differences, but they should be non-essential differences. None of the differences that you and I have should separate our fellowship. I'm talking about differences. If you're a Christian and you think somehow you're justifying your drug habit, and look, you may be a Christian, but the Bible says I shouldn't be fellowshipping with you because I'll get tainted by your sin, but God says don't do that because you need to send them a message that they're messing up their lives. And my goodness, look what the Bible says about those who are involved in sexual immorality, which he'll address in a moment. If somebody's a Christian, the Bible says deal with them in a certain way. Why? To get them out of it. To rescue them. But if you and I have differences, look, I'm blessed in this church. You want to know why? For a lot of reasons. There are people who, they know my position, that I believe that Jesus could come back for the church right now. I didn't know for sure if I'd make it to first service today because Jesus could rapture the church out of here. And yet there are people who disagree with me on that, who attend this church, and we agree to disagree regarding that view. I'm fine with it. Then there's some churches that say, no, I don't allow those people in my church. That's wrong. Well, Pastor, what gives you the confidence? I know what I believe, but I'm not going to get in a fist fight with you if you believe something different regarding this issue. When the rapture happens, I'm going to say to you on the way up, I told you. But do you understand what I'm saying? He said, aren't we the same? Aren't we born again and going to heaven? We need to remember that. Can we fellowship with the Baptist? Are you kidding me? It's tragic. Note that Paul is saying, in this grand assumption that he makes, that we're together as one. That's what he's saying to the Corinthians. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the church was born. Watch how they acted. It says there in Acts 2:42 that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine. That's how you stay unified. Always doctrine first. Not by public or political views. Doctrine. What comes next? Fellowship. Circle the word fellowship. That's koinonia. It means to be together as one. It's the same thing as Paul talking about here in verse 18. In breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear, reverential awe, came upon every soul. What was the result? And many wonders and signs were done. Don't you want to go to a church like that? I do. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Listen, they're going to identify us by our walk. And Romans 8:14 says that you'll be able to tell how a person lives if they're led by the Spirit of God. They're the sons of God. That word led means guided, directed. It means to be trimmed. It's an interesting word. Any captains of a boat or any pilots of an airplane in here, you have what's called trim tabs, don't you? You may have a rudder. And once you get up and get that boat going, or after you get that airplane going, you'll do that by your rudder. But then once you are en route, you don't use your rudder much anymore. You use a little tiny trim tab that's on the end of your rudder. And it makes ever slight corrections. And what a beautiful word that is. He says, for those who are receiving slight corrections by the Holy Spirit during the course of their life, these are the sons and daughters of God. I don't know about you, but I could end right here because that excites me. What does that look like? What does that look like? It looks like this. I get up in the morning. I'm shocked at my face in the mirror, but yet I reach for the toothpaste and I brush my teeth. I go make coffee. Whatever I'm doing, I'm living my life in a constant awareness that I belong to Christ. The phone rings or somebody knocks on my door. There is now an issue. What happens? The Holy Spirit trims the tab. He takes control in a more precise way. He's got control of your life, Christian. But he takes even a more direct control, and he just moves it ever so slightly regarding the issues that come up in life. Every day, are you with me? Don't ever lose this picture. I know there are pilots in the room right now. They got that now. They see that. You are up and you're at cruise, but any changes that need to happen right now, it happens so slightly by the Spirit of God. Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Are you a Christian? Do you love the Lord? Yes. From here on out, every day, moment by moment, whenever necessary, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and makes the necessary correction. Someone say amen. Amen. I am so grateful because that's where I experience Him. That's where Jack gets to realize, Lord, thank you. And most of the time, I don't realize what's going on until after the situation. And I look back and I just say, God, you're awesome. Because I would have told that person to go jump in the lake. I didn't. You had me say this, and thank you for the trimming, Lord. Are you with me? Oh, it's so good to know that He's at work. And by that work, you are able to say, I am a son or a daughter of God. You know He's at work in your life. It's one of the great confirming powers of God working in you. And it's such a glorious thing. It's such a wonderful truth. The Bible tells us some trimming and more regarding our witness. In Galatians chapter 5, can you turn there just a little bit to the right? I need you to turn there. I need you to mark this down. Pretty soon in America, I have no doubt this will be illegal. This portion of Scripture is going to be illegal soon. I'm not kidding. I've been in countries where you're asked to not speak on this portion of Scripture. I wonder how long it's going to be here. But let's remember, we're looking at God's Word. Are you with me? Are you there? Galatians 5, starting at verse 16. As I read this, I want you to keep the rudder and the trim tab in your mind. Before I read this, I want to preface it by asking you, do you know what it's like to be guided by the Holy Spirit? Some of you, I don't mean this. I'm just saying this for argument's sake. Hypothetically. Some of you in this room, are you listening? Are going to literally have the Holy Spirit prove to you in a moment if you are led by the Spirit. Why or how? I'm going to read the Bible in a moment. And you are either going to be embracing your lordship of yourself, and by doing so, denouncing, as it were, the governance of God in your life. Some of you might say, ouch, I'm going to repent and I'm going to make that change. I'm going to get trimmed up here. And some of you are going to say, thank you, God, for being so, so redeeming. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, capital S. Translation, let the Holy Spirit who is in you direct your steps. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Stop right there, keep it on the screens. People, listen to me. You and I constantly have the lust of the flesh. Don't look at me angelic. You do. What someone else's thing is may not be your thing. It doesn't matter what their thing is and your thing is. You have got it. It's in our fallen nature. It's the old man, the Bible says of us. For some of you, it's sexual temptations. For some of you, yes, you say, well, that's not my thing, but money's my thing. I have to watch out for what? It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you've got your thing. And if you're sitting here today saying, I really can't think of one, you are the most messed up of all. Because you've got some ginormous idol in your house and it's carved just like you. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you, he's speaking to believers, do not do the things that you wish or that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Pause. This is awesome. If God, the Holy Spirit, is leading you with rudder and trim tab, you don't have to worry about the law. Are you with me, everybody listening? If a husband says, you should submit to me. I'm the head of the house. Chances are the relationship's been a little rocky hitherto. Because by the time that comes up, there's a lot wrong already. You hear what I'm saying? What should it be like? So much love is going on in the home that he never has to say such a thing. In fact, if anything comes close, they both look at one another and say, you know what? We seem to have a little bit of a disagreement on this. We should both submit to the Lord. Because that's what the Bible says. It's all love-based. If the Spirit of God is leading in your life on a continuous basis, there is no law in stone, 10 or otherwise in number, that can better that. Do you understand? That's what God means. When he says, I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you, and I'm going to write my law upon your hearts. You can't, listen, what's in stone, though it's holy and perfect and pure from Mount Sinai, is nothing compared to the law of Christ's love written on your heart. Do you know this? And so he goes on to say, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which is a weird one, huh? Sorcery? Some of your Bibles say what the word, witchcraft? Isn't that weird? Listen to this. Sorcery, witchcraft. The translators, they're just a little bit more educated than us. The word is pharmakei. You recognize that word? When you go get your prescription fulfilled, where do you go? The pharmacy. Interesting word. The word means to be mind altered. The word is inseparably connected to mind altering powers open you up to sorcery and witchcraft, thus the name pharmakei. Some would say hallucinogenic type of drugs. Some would say anything that brings you under the influence or takes the influence of God away from you and puts you under its influence. All this because God loves us. He wants to get us ready for heaven. And church, when you look around the world, it's a pretty amazing thing when channels on news, even MSNBC, are saying, what's happening in the world? That should be shouted. It should be continually shouted from pulpits across America. Christian, if the world is trying to get ready for what's next, how much more should the Christian be ready for what's next?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called By the Way You Walk. By the Way You Walk is actually a mini-series taken from the last six verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter. And we'll continue with more of By the Way You Walk on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that Real Radio is made possible by the donations of our listeners? And did you know that you can be part of that? Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, we've made that real easy for you to navigate. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Then click the button that says donate. You can give a one-time gift, a monthly gift, or a yearly gift at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.